Thanks for listening to The Rivers Podcast. For more information on this teaching, visit our website at theriver.info.
Today, somebody say Happy September. That's the focus of September right there. There are 4 weeks in this month. I have 4 weeks to teach you about a place called the river. Have you ever heard of the river? Yeah. It's almost 12 years old, and C.S. Lewis, the guy who wrote The Chronicles of Narnia, he said, "We rarely need to be taught, but oh, we often need to be reminded." Is this true? And so I'm going to remind some of you of why the river exists, and I'm going to teach some of you why the river exists because you haven't been here to hear this type of things. So for 4 weeks, our topic is the river, certainly teaching right out of the Word of God, describing and explaining why we exist. Today's teaching topic is the mission of the river. Somebody say, it's mission. I got 3 words for you. That's all it is. We can't handle them anymore. I want to keep it simple. The mission of the river is to, somebody say to. Glorify. God. That's why we exist, to glorify God. It's simple. It's not rocket science. It's a very basic concept. The mission of the river, the thing we've been called to do here on planet Earth as a collective body and as individuals, is to glorify God. So I'm going to ask you, and I want you to respond loudly, what is the mission of the river? Now the question is, what does it mean for you and me and us to glorify God? And I have an answer for you today. Would you like to know what it is for you to bring glory to God?
Yes.
Here it is. How about the rest of you? Would you like to know what it is to glorify God?
Yes.
Now here's the deal. I have to work to get you to respond, because if you're not participating in this message, you ain't going to remember as much as if you communicate with me, all right?
All right?
Somebody turn to the balcony and say, "Wake up, balcony." Thank you. All right. That's a great voice, Keith. Here is what it is to glorify God. To glorify God, you got to climb the mountain. That's profound. Somebody say, So when I say climb the mountain, y'all go, So you got to climb the mountain. If you want to glorify God, you have got to climb the mountain. What does that mean? Stephanie's excited about that, aren't you, Stephanie?
Yes.
Yes. Somebody say, "I am too, Stephanie."
I am too, Stephanie.
One day, Jonathan, son of Saul, this is 1 Samuel 14. Now, Saul was the first king of Israel, and Jonathan was his son. One day, Jonathan, son of Saul, said to his young armor bearer, "Come, let's go over to the Philistine outpost on the other side." But he didn't tell his father. Now, it might be helpful for you to know, in this story in 1 Samuel 14, the Philistines are oppressing the Israelites. That is to say, God's people are under attack, and the people attacking God's people are better equipped, better trained, and they are much more numerous. And so when we read such stories like the one we're going to get in today, 1 Samuel 14, it's helpful to think symbolically of our story. When we see that there's an enemy oppressing God's people, you need to understand that there's an enemy oppressing you. Can somebody tell me what's on my shoes? Say it loudly, please.
Star Wars.
Star Wars. I got my Star Wars shoes on today. Because about 3 months ago, when I knew I was going to be teaching on warfare and Star Wars, I bought Star Wars shoes. Only to find out my son had to move into college when I was supposed to be teaching on Star Wars. I was so disappointed. However, were you here last week? Who was here last week? As Rod taught through the scriptures and the truth found in Star Wars, there's something in that movie from last week that applies to my shoes today, that applies to you climbing your mountain. Do you remember last week that the battle between good and evil, it is real? Do you remember Rod talked about the fact that our battle is not against flesh and blood, but against rulers and principalities and forces of this dark world? Do you understand that there is a spiritual presence set against you?
Yes.
And so to remind you of that presence of evil set against you, I'm wearing Star Wars shoes today. Well done. Thank you. And so when we look at David or Jonathan's story, we see that there's an enemy set against them. So when you see the Philistines, just think of the kingdom of darkness set against you. Can you do that?
Yeah.
All right. Remember what Han Solo said, it's real. It's all real. back to the text. Jonathan said to his young armor bearer, "Come, let's go over to the outpost of those uncircumcised men. Perhaps the Lord will act in our behalf." Pay attention. "Nothing can hinder the Lord from saving, whether by many or by few." Nothing can hinder the Lord from saving, whether by many or by few. Now, some of you need to hear that because it feels like the enemy, the world, is just set against you and it's too big and nothing's going to overcome it and you're always going to be stuck. How many of you have felt or are feeling that you're always going to be stuck where you're at? Well, for those of you who are honest today, raising your hand, and for those of you who aren't raising your hand, I'm going to tell you, nothing can thwart the work of the Lord, because when God sets his heart on bringing deliverance and rescue, nothing can stop it. Nothing. Now, I just think I'm preaching a little harder than you're listening. I'm already sweaty up here. I just said something that's pretty probably gets me excited. And I think, Stephanie, you're excited about that too, aren't you? See, she is. I said that no matter how big the obstacles in your life seem, there's nothing that can keep the work of the Lord bringing freedom to your life. This is good news. Touch your neighbor and say, "That's good news." Touch your neighbor and say, "God's rescue cannot be thwarted." So maybe that's a word for you, because you're stuck in need of a rescue right now. And so before you get any further in this text, you just need to know that nothing can stop the work of the Lord. Maybe that's a word for you, or maybe it's a word that you need to put in your pocket and bring to your friend back home who needs to hear that God is working a rescue, and it doesn't matter whether it's with a bunch of people or little people, but it's coming, because nothing, somebody say nothing, can stop the work of the Lord. So the armor bearer said, "Do all that you have in mind. Go ahead, I'm with you, heart and soul." Jonathan said, "Come on, we will cross over toward them and let them see us. Let them see us. If they say to us, 'Wait, wait there until we come to you,' we'll stay where we are and we'll not go up to them. But if they say, 'Come up to us,' we will climb up, because that will be our sign that the Lord has given them into our hands." So both of them showed themselves to the Philistine outpost. Do you know that this is a bad idea? Somebody say, "Jonathan, bad idea." See, here's the deal. There were 2 against 20. We'll read later in the text. There's 20. 2 against 20. If you had one strategical advantage, if you're 2 against 20, it's stealth. Shh. It's the element of surprise. And so tactically, if there's an enemy that's bigger and badder and larger than you, you want to sneak up and get them before they know you're there. Somebody say, "Bad move, Jonathan." Jonathan says, "Hey, let's let them see us." And the Bible says that they saw them. They showed themselves to the Philistines. They gave up their one tactical advantage. This just seems stupid to me. Have you heard me say before that if you're feeling led to do something and it feels stupid, it just might be of the Lord? Now, it might not be of the Lord, because sometimes stupid is just stupid, right? But sometimes the Lord will lead you to do something for your freedom and the freedom of others. You better pay attention. This is good. Sometimes the Lord will lead you for your freedom or for the freedom of others to do something that just seems stupid. Amen. So if you're feeling in your gut like you got to do this thing, and in your gut it feels like stupid and it goes against conventional wisdom, if it just feels stupid, man, you better take a time out and check, because it just might be of the Lord, because God often uses unconventional ways to bring about his deliverance. So I call it the stupid check. Again, some of you are just stupid. I am too. Sometimes we're just stupid, but sometimes that stupid thing is a leading of the Lord. Do you guys know who Truett Cathy is? Anybody? Anybody know? Ask Truett Cathy. Who knows who he is? How many of you like Chick-fil-A? How many of you are excited that there's a Chick-fil-A coming down on Westridge? How many of you are scared of the lack of self-control you're going to show because they're going to have Chick-fil-A? So when Truett Cathy was going to start his movement, just selling chicken, that was his thing, he said to his people, he has a strong faith background in Jesus Christ, he says, "You know, let's do something different," he told his people. He said, "Let's not open on Sundays. Conventional wisdom told him, and he was told, and you could read this in his biography, that is the dumbest thing in the world to do. Do not do that. There are 7 days a week to make money. If you do 6 days a week to make money, you're going to fall well behind any competition, and you will be out of business before you even start business. But Truett Cathy said, you know, I want to make a stand for my faith in Christ, and I'm going to give my employees the day off so that they can go worship. He was clear that he doesn't believe legally that you're going to hell if you work on Sundays. He said, I don't want to do that, but I just want to give my people a space to go worship if they so choose on a Sunday morning. So we're going to close on Sunday mornings. Do you know when he died, he was a multi-billionaire because he did something unconventional. And do you know when he died, he had given millions away to charities and to the work of the Lord around the world. You know, sometimes God wants you to do something and it seems stupid. And if you're there, I'm telling you what, you got to be stupid and do it. You might not even know the history of the river. Let me give it to you. So it was 2003, a group of people, about 68 people, said, you know, let's start a church. And so they went to these conferences on how to start a church, and they read books on how to start a church, and they brought in experts who knew how to start a church. And all the experts, all the conferences, all the books said, when you want to start a church, you need to go to the suburbs where people are moving, where there's an influx of people, and where the income is on the rise, and where money is flowing in with new businesses. But that group of people who started this church about 12 years ago said, let's go to the poorest part of Kalamazoo where people are fleeing and there is no money. So they actually made this known, the people who started this church. Did you know this about your church? They actually said to those who were training them and equipping them, they said, you know, I know you're saying all of this is the way to do it, but we're going to do it this way. Do you know what all these folks said about the folks who started the river who were doing it this way? Say that again loudly. That's stupid. In fact, there was an organization that gave the river some grant money up front to help start the church. The guy who gave the grant money pulled the leaders aside and said, you know, we're really nervous about giving you this money because we feel like this money is just going to go down a hole and we're not going to see any return on it because you're going against all conventional wisdom. So this organization that gives grants to churches, the River is One, they give grants to hundreds of churches to plant churches. There was only one church within its first 2 years actually returned a grant because they didn't need it because the money was stable and God's people were growing in faith and wisdom. Do you know what church that was? It was the River. That kind of makes me smile. That's kind of fun. So they said, that's stupid, and yet even though we did something that was stupid, we were the only church plant that took the grant money they gave and gave back a bunch of it because we didn't need it because God had already blessed us and grown us a place where we didn't need their grant money. Give it to somebody else. It's good. So both of them showed themselves to the Philistines. Sometimes to get your freedom, you got to step out in faith and do something stupid so that God can work through that stupid thing. Some of you are too concerned about looking stupid. You know, people don't care. You know, the only people who really care if you look stupid is you. So look stupid. Do something risky and crazy and just see what the Lord does. So both of them, the text says, showed themselves to the Philistine outpost. Look, said the Philistines. The Hebrews are crawling out of the holes they were hiding in. And the men of the outpost shouted to Jonathan and his armor bearer, come up to us and we'll teach you a lesson. Do you remember what Jonathan said? He says, if they say stay there, we'll stay here. But if they say come on up, we'll say it's a sign from the Lord and we'll go up and we'll get them, right? So these dudes up top of the hill, they said, come on up, we'll teach you a lesson. So Jonathan said to his armor bearer, climb up after me. The Lord has given them into the hand of Israel. Climb up after me. Climb up after me. In order to receive the fullness of the blessings of the Lord and thus bring glory to the name of Jesus, you got to climb a mountain. Again, turn to your neighbor and say, you got to climb. Now say it like you're not like Caucasian, most of you. Say it like you mean it. Say, like you got to climb the mountain. Say that way. Because there's a truth in this. Say it like you didn't come from a background where you have to sit still in church, but where you could be a little exuberant. Somebody tell their neighbor, you got to climb the mountain. See, in order for victory to be had, in order for freedom to be had, in order for God to be glorified, somebody's got to take the first step of climbing the mountain. And I'm wondering if we're looking at people here who are going to be climbing that mountain. See, I know some of you have been given clear direction for that thing God has called you to. He says, I want you to do this, and this thing is going to bring freedom, and it is going to bring glory to the Lord, and you've just been kind of frozen because it seems silly or it seems difficult. It seems difficult. Have you ever climbed a mountain? So this summer, our oldest son, Jake, the one we just dropped off, I share the story without permission because he's not here, so don't tell him, all right? We were up in Alaska in Denali National Park backpacking, and we were going to cross this river. It was, you know, about a 40-yard river, and we'd actually, I told you the story a little bit earlier. We saw a grizzly bear crossing that same river, and the river swept its feet out and took him down the river a little bit. So we were a little nervous to cross this river. So as we're staring at this river, Jake says to me, did I tell you this? Dad, let's go over the mountain. Right? Do you remember this? I'm like, oh, goodness, let's go over the mountain. So this young whippersnapper was flying up the mountain. I know I've told this story, but some of you weren't here. So he's up at the top of the mountain, and I'm like halfway up the mountain thinking, this is the dumbest thing I've ever done. Because climbing mountains isn't easy. Climbing mountains is incredibly difficult. I remember climbing this mountain. I was like on all fours just scrambling up there, cursing my son in my own mind. Whose child is this that led me to do this type of thing? It wasn't fun. In fact, the worst part of my experience in Denali was climbing the mountain. Now, I've told you, in order for you to bring glory to God, which brings freedom to others and yourself, you got to climb your mountain. And I've actually told you to tell your neighbor to climb your mountain. Try it again in your nice, loud voice. Climb the mountain. Do you understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
It's not very nice of me. I'm actually encouraging you to do something that is incredibly difficult. You see, by nature, we just want to walk along the riverbed nice and flat. But the freedom that is to come and the glory of the Lord that came down didn't come by walking the easy road. It came when one person and his buddy decided to take that first step of climbing the mountain. So I'm wondering if you're going to get up, and I wonder if you're going to go. I wonder if that mountain for you to bring God glory and freedom in your life is to leave the job that has you just stifled. I wonder. I wonder if climbing that mountain and bringing the glory of the Lord to planet Earth is you letting go of that bitterness and unforgiveness that you've been holding on. I wonder if that first step up the mountain is for you actually to give your income, parts of it back to the work of the Lord by tithing and offering to the church. I wonder if your first step to climb that mountain is to invite your neighbor over for dinner. I wonder if climbing the mountain is making a phone call when you leave here and saying, I'm sorry. I wonder if you're climbing the mountain, as you're looking in the mirror and saying to that person in the mirror, you know what, this life ain't about your comfort. You see, climbing the mountain is a very difficult thing. I don't know what it is for you, but I know when God's people climb the mountain, his glory comes down and freedom pervades. So the Bible says Jonathan climbed up using his hands and his feet with his armor bearer right behind him. And it's hard. It's difficult. If it was easy, the story wouldn't be worth telling. That's a good point. If it was easy, the story wouldn't be worth telling. Some of you are in a very difficult place right now. Some of you are in a very difficult place right now. Remember earlier, the work of the Lord can't be thwarted. It doesn't matter. It's not too big, your problem, to keep God from working. God is going to set you free, and if it was easy, it wouldn't be worth telling. You're building a story right now. Somebody tell your neighbor, you're building a story. You're building a story that's worth telling, so be of good cheer. It's hard work, but the story that you're going to tell is going to bring all kinds of glory. Sometimes you got to work to be free. You know, I heard a sermon this week, and the guy was talking about the more we sacrifice, the greater the success. The more we sacrifice, the greater the success, or the more we sacrifice, the greater the freedom. I think the Lord wants to bring his glory on planet Earth by you climbing your mountain. I don't know what your mountain is. And you got to know the more that you sacrifice for his sake, the more of his glory will be unleashed on planet Earth. And so here we go. The Philistines, once Jonathan got to the top of the mountain, pay attention to this is really bizarre. The Philistines fell before Jonathan. Now, who is carrying Jonathan's armor? Let me ask it this way. Who is bearing Jonathan's armor? Which includes his weapons. Jonathan gets to the top, no armor, no weaponry, and the bad guys fall down. The Philistines fell before Jonathan, and his armor bearer, who still had the sword and the weaponry, didn't even think to give it to the swordsman. He did the work himself, and it says the armor bearer followed, and he killed the bad guys. Because when one godly man stands up in the face of oppression, the kingdom of darkness has to fall. And people who aren't, quote, trained to do battle, rise up and become warriors that slay the kingdom of darkness. They just got in the presence of darkness, and the glory of the Lord was on them, and the evil fell before. And so when you climb your mountain, when you face the evil in your world, if you just go there, somebody say go there. If you just go there, the kingdom of darkness can't stand in your presence, and it'll fall, and the people around you who don't know how to do warfare will become warriors for the kingdom of God. But you got to climb your mountain. And you got to get up and you got to go. And you can't stay stuck in the easy way. You got to put some effort and labor into this so that the kingdom of darkness falls and those around you become warriors. So in that first attack, Jonathan and his armor bearer killed 20-some men. Just think bad guys. Just think demonic, okay? Beyond the killing of people here, there's a different culture. They killed about 20 men. And then the panic struck the whole army of the Philistines. Those in the camp and the field and those in the outposts and the raiding parties. And the ground shook, and it was a panic sent by God. When a godly man or a godly woman engages into the battle that Rod talked about last week, the kingdom of darkness feels it beyond this location. When God's people rise up and bring his kingdom out there, the kingdom of darkness shakes in fear, and the ground will actually shake because God's glory brings power upon the people who stand in the name of the Lord. So I'm wondering if our mission is to glorify God. I'm wondering who's going to be glorifying God this week in their lives. Will it be you? So watch what else happened when they climbed. So Saul, who was the king, who should have been the one leading the way against the bad guys, but he wasn't. Saul, that's hard to say. Saul. What took place when two men went up in the name of the Lord? And he said to the men who were with him, the whole army, he said, hey, muster the forces and see who has left us. And when they did, it was Jonathan Armith. He said, it's Jonathan, it's my own son. He didn't know who caused this, and he found out right here it was his own son. See, sometimes we're shocked at who God chooses to use. Saul had no idea it was his own son who caused the enemy to flee. Sometimes we're shocked who God chooses. Have you ever just like scratched your beard? Hopefully if you're a woman, the answer is no. And said, I can't believe that guy is doing that thing. Have you ever thought about that? You see, sometimes we're just shocked who God uses. Now, maybe that's not the way you think. Maybe you think, man, God can't use me. Maybe you're the person that you think God can't use. I'm telling you, God uses people that others are shocked he uses. Whether it's that weird person down the road or you, the weird person wearing your skin. So they found that it was Jonathan. And then Saul and his men assembled and they went into battle. They found the Philistines in total confusion, striking each other with the sword. You see, when one man and his buddy climbed the mountain to bring the glory of the Lord, those who have been lazy in their faith rise up and become the warriors they were meant to be. So I've told you before that about 86% of this church is stuck in the root level. There's about 7% seeds new to the faith, about 7% trees who are reaching up to God and blessing people, but about 86% are stuck right there. This is people like Saul in the army who are just sitting there waiting. And people like Saul, who know the things of the Lord, know about God, but yet aren't fire for the Lord, they will catch fire and grow from root to tree when somebody gets up, walks up the mountain, and stands in the presence of evil and says, this isn't the right way. Because when one godly person with his buddy make a stand for the kingdom of the Lord, lethargic Christians become impassioned battlers and warriors for the King of Kings. I'm talking to the person next to you. So the climb inspired others to join the battle. And then we continue down in the text. The Hebrews, who had previously been with the Philistines, who's the enemy in the story? The Philistines. And there were Hebrew people, Israelites, God's people, who were over in the camp of the Philistines. You see, sometimes God's people make dumb choices and go the way of the enemy. Sometimes God's people, God's children, walk in darkness. And so when we read about Hebrews living with the Philistines, we see our potential. And at times, maybe our reality that sometimes, even though we know about God, we walk in the way of darkness. But when one man climbed a mountain with his buddy, not only did lethargic Christians become, or followers of God, become passionate warriors for God, people who were walking in darkness came back to the light. The Hebrews who had previously been with the Philistines and had gone with them to their camp went over back to the Israelites, who were Saul and Jonathan. The call, or the climb, called some brothers and sisters back home. And I'm telling you, God has a mountain for you to climb because there's some brothers and sisters in your life who need you to take a stand for the glory of the Lord so that they can come back to the Lord. Thank you, Stephanie. Amen. When all the Israelites who had hidden in the hill country. Okay, so you got Saul and the people who knew all about God but weren't doing any of the work they were supposed to be doing. You got the Israelites who were living in the dark land, the Philistines. You got those type of people. And then you got these chickens. Somebody say, buck, buck. Buck, buck. The Israelites who had hidden in the hill country of Ephraim heard that the Philistines were on their own, and they joined the battle in hot pursuit. So when one man and his buddy climb a mountain and stand in the glory of the Lord, chickens become warriors. People who are timid in their faith make a stand and make a difference. Because one person climbed the mountain and the glory of the Lord was revealed on planet Earth. Okay. I hope y'all got hard-toed shoes right now because I'm going to step on toes. So let's talk about you for a minute. Now, if you're new to the River, if this is like your first time here, just enjoy the squirmy nature of what's going on around you because I'm not talking to you. But if this is your church home and you've signed on the dotted line, not literally but figuratively, and this is part of your church, I'm talking to you and I'm asking you, does your life glorify God? Yeah. Rhetorical. Thank you. I usually like responding, but not right now. Yeah. Not right now. Shh. Or are you stuck knowing all kinds of things about God? You could teach sermons about God. You could lead Bible studies about God. But you're doing nothing on planet Earth to bring God's presence here, to bring the mercy that he has that comes with his glory. Do you glorify God? Or have you just taken Jesus and put him amongst a list of many things? Because God has a mountain for you to climb, and if you got a pulse, what have we been saying for years? Yeah, that's right. But we've also been saying lately, if you got a pulse, what? Purpose. You have a purpose. Your purpose on planet Earth will never be fully realized until you surrender to the King of Kings and climb that mountain and make a sacrifice so that God's glory can be manifested on planet Earth. Do you glorify God or do you sit in church? Now, I've been saying on and off this summer that I used to think Sunday morning was the thing. It's not the thing. It's necessary, needed, God-ordained, biblical halftime. We've got to come here and encounter the glory of the Lord. We've got to sing praises to the Lord. In fact, how can you not sing praises to the Lord if you've had God bless you? But this was never meant to be the end. This was meant to be the thing that inspires us to go out and play the real game, which is out there the rest of the week. So does your life glorify God? Let me ask it this way. Are you the same dude that you were last year? Or even more grumpy? More addicted? More bitter? I mean, if those are the options, the best option is to be the same person you were last year. But I'll tell you what, when you climb your mountain, God changes you, and you can't be the same today that you were yesterday. So maybe your assignment in finishing this sermon is answering the question, do I glorify God? You got to answer this question. Am I the same person I was last year? Because God wants to bring transformation in you because he wants his glory to come through you on planet Earth. See, here's the deal. Jesus didn't take the nails so that you could be stuck in sin and call your Sunday morning church experience the sum total of your faith. He didn't take the nails so that you could just sit in church and be the same person stuck in your junk and calling Sunday the sum total of your faith. He took the nails so that you could be set free to climb a mountain to bring freedom to somebody else. See, you were made to glorify God, not to shrivel or to stay stuck. You are made to bring God's glory on planet Earth. And you can't bring his glory if you sit at the bottom of the hill and look up and say, wow, that's stuff up there. You got to get up and you got to climb. You got to get up that mountain. And so maybe part of your homework to finish this sermon in your life is, what is the mountain for you? I don't know. I know that the river is, we're at a cusp of changing how we do things. We're going to unleash mercy from the King of Kings and planet, we're not even planet Earth, but Kalamazoo in ways that we've never done before that. It's going to change Kalamazoo, and we're going to call you to be a part of it. So I know in part that's coming, you need to be a part of the mercy work collective. But I think even beyond that, before that, you got to figure out how you're to climb your mountain. What is that mountain? Where are you going to go? What are you going to do? How are you going to bring the glory of God on planet Earth? That's your question. That's your homework. That's your assignment. You got to get up that mountain. Just touch somebody on the shoulder and say, you got to get up that mountain. So let me tell you what the world needs. The world, America, thinks that we need a new president or a better candidate. That's not what America needs. You know what America needs? America needs some Jonathans and armor bearers to stand up and walk up the mountain and bring the glory of God on planet Earth. That is to say, America needs you to get off your church butt and do something in planet Earth to bring the glory of the Lord. So get off your church butt and get up that mountain so that the glory of the Lord can go through you and change the world around you.
Thanks for listening. For more information, check us out online at theriver.info.